The New York Mets played a football game yesterday. The Yankees swoon continues, and there's even football on the horizon. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And first of all, I did give your picks. Mike missed yesterday because, once again, they had a power outage and his clock did not wake him up. But his pick of the day yesterday at Saratoga, which we put on after the sports because Mike let us know what it was another winner.
Yeah, Cool Beans won yesterday. He was on the inner turf going a mile, and he looked to be the lone speed of the race, and he was. Every step was a winning step, and paid $9 for us yesterday.
So congratulations. Your winning summer at Saratoga continues.
Yeah, let's hope it does for the weekend.
Well, I don't know. You've shown pretty good so far to keep things going. So now let's go to a baseball for a second, then we'll come back to your weekend picks.
Sure, yeah.
The Mets, who can explain baseball this year?
Yeah, they win 24-2, and then they lose 9-6.
24-2.
Yeah, that's the most runs they scored in 31 years. Honestly, that's not made up.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And then, of course, the Yankees, just like last year, man, and it's not because Judge is out. Last year they did the same thing after the All-Star break. They tanked, and once again, they're tanking again this year. It's
not
amazing.
Scoring runs. They lost the last two games to Tampa Bay, 6-1 and 3-1. So it doesn't matter what the name of your pitcher is. When you're only scoring one run, you need to put up a goose egg, and they're not doing it. Like I said all year, their lineup doesn't scare me. Yesterday I was watching the end of the game, and they had bases loaded, no outs, and Tampa Bay took their reliever Nomo out. And first guy up is Bird. He swings at the first pitch, foul ball behind third base, out one. Next, Gardner's up, swinging like the Sisters of Mercy, strikes out, out number two. Then Romine's up, another feeble swing at a bad pitch out of the strike zone, strike three. The Yankees had bases loaded and no outs and didn't even put a ball in play, where Tampa Bay had to make a decision whether to give up a run, try for a double play, anything. They didn't even put the ball in play to force their hand. They went down like awful yesterday against Tampa Bay. That was bases loaded, no outs. I don't care what party your order's up, you got to do something. They didn't even put a ball in play.
Yeah, it's just like last year. It's almost like they're in a fog funk, and we'll see what happens. I mean, there's still plenty of time left in the season, like we saw last year. But still, it's very strange. They brought in a different manager to handle the younger players, so the younger players don't get upset. And it didn't manage. You switch the managers, and the same thing is happening this year.
Maybe every player needs their own Zen garden in their locker or something now. Who knows? The division's gone. That's 10.5. Forget it. I mean, even after they got swept by Boston, there were people that still thought they had a chance to catch them. That's finished. Forget about that. And now you got a 3-game lead on a wild card. Yeah. And you have a 5-game lead on not making the playoffs. Yeah. And the way that the A's and the Mariners are going at it out west, and the way that the Yankees are playing here, it doesn't matter how weak the Yankee schedule is, they might get bounced. Yeah. I mean, like you said, there's a month and a half left of the season. They could walk into the wild card, or they might not even make it. That's yet to be seen. Yeah. And the way they're playing now, things don't look good.
No, it's like I said, they've got to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and get out of it like they did last year. Well, we'll see if the difference of bringing in a rookie manager makes the difference.
Yeah, this is what's going to determine if you see Aaron Boone in pinstripes next year or back up in the booth with in ESPN, because he, like you said, he's a rookie manager. He's never been put it. He's on the biggest microscopic team in baseball, where anything the Yankees do is a big thing, and this is it. If somehow the Yankees don't make the wild card game, you can guarantee Aaron Boone is history.
All right, let's go on to some other sports news.
All right. That one incident that took place Wednesday night with the Braves, where the pitcher on the Marlins came out and plunked, I think his name is Acuna, on the first pitch of the game. I mean, there's no place in baseball for that. This guy's hot. He hit like 8 homers in 8 games, and he's just on fire for the Braves. And you come out on the first pitch of the game and you plunk him. No, you can't do that. I mean, I'm not a big advocate of not hitting people for certain things, but because this guy's been ripping your skull off with home runs and the rest of the league, you come out and hit him with the first pitch of the game. You can't do that. I mean, get the guy out. He's hitting home runs. He's not mouthing off to you. He's not doing anything that warrants being buzzed. He's crushing the ball on you. You could buzz him back and make him feel uncomfortable in the box, but you don't come out and plunk him. When a pitcher is pitching a no-hitter or he's pitching a shutout, you don't run to the mound and start throwing punches at him. You don't throw a swinging bat through the mound to get him off his game. You have to beat him, and that's what you have to do when the guy's hot at the plate too. You can buzz him. You can make him feel uncomfortable. But you can't hit him with the first pitch of the game. That pitcher on the Marlins, I don't care what his name is or who he is, he should be suspended for a month. When you suspend a pitcher for six games, you're suspending him for one start. You need to suspend him for six starts. You need to suspend him for a month without pay because there's no room in baseball for hitting a guy with the first pitch of the game. It's just uncalled for.
Yeah, and if you had the talent like a Bob Gibson or a Sandy Koufax or a Whitey Ford, you can give them chin music without plunking them.
That's the problem. These guys can't do that.
Yeah.
They're lucky they can hit a batter with a pitch. That's how bad some of their control is. But regardless, if you're Bob Gibson or anybody, you don't hit a guy with the first pitch of a game. I mean, there's a place and time you do it. And the guy didn't do anything. He didn't go in hard with a slide. He didn't do anything that warranted you to headhunt him, except hit home runs. You don't hit a guy for hitting home runs. Not now. I mean, if he showed you up showboating or whatever, it's another story. But I seen what this kid was doing. I was watching a lot of baseball this week. He did nothing out of the ordinary except crush you. And the best way to get back at somebody crushing you is to get him out. Don't plunk him. Not with the first pitch of the game, first at bat of the game, it's too obvious. You deserve a five or six week suspension for being a dope.
All right. Now, can we go on to your picks?
Sure, we can. We're going to go all over the place this weekend. Like we always do, today's first pick is going to be the pick of the day, and that's going to Saratoga as usual. The seventh race, 7-furlong allowance race for non-winners and one other than. Running for 87,000 bananas up there today. Big purses up at Saratoga every day. I've been waiting for this horse to come back since February. This horse really impressed me running in Florida this winter. First time out of the box at Gulfstream, ran second by one. And then after that came back at Tampa Bay and just looked tremendous winning this race. The horse I'm talking about is the 10-horse Cilantro. Has two nice works. Prepping for today's race up at Saratoga, has been prepping up there since June. 4-1 morning line. All systems go today for the pick of the day. Seventh race, 10-horse Cilantro. So we'll see if we can keep our pick of the day streak going. Moving to tomorrow, we got two races at Saratoga to pick from, and two races out at Del Mar. Saratoga tomorrow, the eighth race, the Grade Two Lake Placid, a mile and an eighth on the turf. Draw seven horses in here. You're going to have a couple of horses being bet. One is going to be Chad Brown's Significant Form, the 4. The other is going to be another Chad Brown, the 6-horse Rushing Fall. Two out of seven horses in the race. I don't know when these racetracks are going to start putting a couple dentries in here to protect the bettors, but until then, I'm going to keep picking against them. Two horses I'm going to use in this race. One is The Way I Am, the 1-horse. Graham Motion is ice cold on the wind column, but he's been hitting the board. There's some rain expected up at Saratoga today, so look for the turf to be a little bit less than firm tomorrow. This horse ran a real nice race in the Grade 2 Appalachian at Keeneland, going a mile on a yielding surface, running second in that race. Came back, ran second in the Penn Oaks and second in the Belmar Oaks Invitational, a Grade 1 at a mile and a quarter on the inner turf. This horse just has not been winning. But this horse is going to sit the rail and get a good trip tomorrow, and maybe the horse in Graham Motion can get off the schneid. Another horse that I'm going to use in here, which is going to be my top pick, is the 2, Daddy is a Legend. trained by George Weaver. This horse won the sister race to the Lake Placid, the Lake George, on opening weekend by two up at Saratoga. This horse has won three out of the last six races, running against some of the best horses in the country. Has run on a yielding track at Keeneland, the same race that The Way I Am came out of, ran second. This horse ran fourth, had a little bit of traffic issues in that race. With a clean move tomorrow, I think this horse gets the job done. So Daddy's a Legend, my top pick. The Way I Am is my second pick. The big race at Saratoga this weekend, Grade 1 Alabama, mile and a quarter on the main track. Everybody's talking about Midnight Bisou because this horse ran second to Monomoy's Girl twice, going a mile and an eighth, once at Churchill, once at Saratoga. For those that don't know, a quarter is more than an eighth. This horse is by Midnight Loot. Midnight Loot cannot get a mile and a quarter, folks. He was a sprinter. I don't care how good Midnight Bisou looks on paper, this horse isn't going to get the distance. This horse has never won past a mile and an eighth. Two times this horse ran a mile and an eighth, it lost. I don't know why a horse that can't win going a mile and an eighth, you expect to win going a mile and a quarter. This horse is a complete toss for me tomorrow. My top pick in the Alabama tomorrow is going to be the six horse, Figuarella's Queen. This horse is bred to make the distance, has been running on the turf, has won on the dirt. This horse is by Medallia Doro out of a Rock Hard 10 mare. No problem with distance here, and no problem with the price, 15-1. Fiorello's Queen's 15-1, and you're looking at Midnight Bisou looking at something like 4-5. You do the math. Fiorello's Queen is my pick in the Alabama, and based on breeding alone, I think has a very, very good shot to win the race. Moving over to the left coast tomorrow, the sixth race is the Del Mar Handicap, a Grade 2, mile and 3/8 on the turf. Two horses I look for in here is one is Flamboyant. This horse could run all day, and I think the mile and 3/8 is perfect for this horse to get back into the win column at a 6-1, an 8-1 morning line. Two other horses I'm going to look to use in exact boxes here. One is Ashley's Love Sugar, the 8 horse, which is another horse that can run all day. And then in the outside, Phil D'Amato's horse, the 12, Fashion Business. So we're going to box an 8-1, a 6-1, and another 6-1 in an exact box and take Flamboyant to win. And the second biggest race of the weekend is out in California this weekend. This was the race I was expecting Justify to come back and win. Unfortunately, he had to be retired and on life-threatening injuries, as we know, the Pacific Classic. 10th race on the card out at Del Mar. The 5-horse Accelerate is going to be the top pick. Here is going to be the not my top pick, but will be the favorite. But two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the 6-horse, Beach View, who won the Cougar, which is a Grade 3 going a mile and a half over the Del Mar Strip. This horse won by 4 that day. This is a very lackluster crew. 15-1 wouldn't make me afraid to bet Beach View to win in this race. But there's an interesting horse for that big name, you know, Bobby Baffert. The name of the horse is the 4-horse, Roman Rosso. This horse is coming from South America, where this horse has won 5 out of 8 starts, gets a 5-1 morning line with Flavian Pratt on. To me, that's saying that this horse has some talent. This horse has some very good works at Del Mar coming into the race, and who's to argue with Bobby Baffert? I thought he'd win this race with Justify, but I think he's going to win this horse with this invader from South America, the 4, Roman Rosso. So Roman Rosso is going to be my top pick in the Pacific Classic, and I'm going to use the 6-horse Beach View to hopefully hit a nice big exacta. So some nice races up north and out west this weekend, and let's see if we can keep our pick of the day going today with Cilantro.